Hello, Chaz and AJ.
Hey, Governor Lamont is on the line.
Hey, Governor Lamont.
You got him. Good morning.
Morning.
What's happening?
Hello. Hello.
Who's that, Chaz?
Yes, Chaz with a Z and AJ.
Right.
My lucky day. Hey, guys.
Now, when you say lucky,
you know, I was wondering which version of you we were going to get. Were we going to get the sarcastic, like, I'm too cool to be here, governor, or is he going to be the friendly governor?
So it's friendly.
So the primary.
I'll let you know in 5 minutes.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'll let you know. The primary's tomorrow, and, you know, your people wanted to have you come on. Hey. You know, is there any look, we love hearing your commercials. We love the money. But, like, do you need to run commercials for this primary? You're going to clean this guy's clock, right?
You got to tell people every day you appreciate the job, appreciate the fact that they give me a chance to do it for 8 years, and you got to earn it for the next 4 years. So we're out there fighting. And that includes going on the Chaz and AJ show, doing advertising. I went to 3 church services yesterday. I said a prayer for you guys.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
Most folks do. My mom included.
Man, like, how shocked would you be if he won tomorrow?
Hey, look around the country. Look at Texas. Look at Michigan. Small turnout primaries. Things can happen. I think the state's in a lot better place today than we were 8 years ago. We got our fiscal house in order. We're making investments in people, but people are still pretty ripped. You know, they're working their tails off, and some of them are having a really hard time making ends meet. So you got to say, I know where you're at. This is what we're doing to make your life a little easier.
Yeah, no, that's smart. Did Josh say anything that, like, really pissed you off?
Surely not a good thing to attack my wife.
Ooh.
Did he attack your wife?
Yeah, leave it at that.
Okay. I haven't been paying attention.
There's a lot going out there, yeah.
Wow.
So that was the gloves are off moment, I guess,
that,
right?
That was the gloves are off.
Right, pull the shirt over the head and boom, boom, off we go, yes.
Look, it's been an attack campaign for the last 8 months. I was sleeves rolled up, and this are the things we need to do to keep the state moving forward. But you're right. We came back and said, you can't sleep through important votes. You got to show up for those votes. And by the way, the governor's office is right next to the legislative chamber. 186 legislators go in there all the time to make their case, and he's never once been to my office. So we made our case.
Were there any criticisms from him that you thought, you know, he made a point, I could be better over there in that area?
I think generally speaking, knowing the pain that people are going through, trying to get by, sometimes working a 1.5-2 jobs, still having a hard time. I think that's where the progressives are telling the Democrats, you better talk to people where they are. You're fighting for working families in the middle class every day. He didn't teach me that, but I think you see that true around the country.
The commercial where I saw you rolling up your sleeves, I thought, it was kind of ridiculous because you've been in the job for 8 years and you're just rolling up your sleeves now. Did that, like, isn't that, it's kind of like the, remember he was in the car and he was like, this is what I'm going to drive.
Oh, the Chevy, yeah.
The Chevy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We weren't rolling up our sleeves now. The theory was that we've done this for 8 years.
Okay.
Everybody was talking about balancing the budget. Everybody was talking about fixing our pension system. Everybody was talking about universal early childhood. Nobody got it done. We rolled up our sleeves and got it done. It wasn't in the last 6 months. It was in the last 8 years.
Okay. That was the premise of it. Because I'm just watching this thing. I'm like, well, now?
But Chaz, you got me on cars. They won't let me drive. So I'm guilty
of
that.
You know what's funny? Dude, I enjoy you, okay? When you came in after you won, like, this whole commercial thing ran, like, so this is my Chevy. This car's just, this is good enough.
Just fine. Yeah, yeah.
It's just fine.
Yeah.
And he got in here. I was like, hey, how's the Chevy? And you said, it broke. Nobody who drives a car describes a car as broke down or, you know, the motor went, it broke.
A lot of miles.
No, the day after the election 8 years ago, I was ready to, you know, go get something at the store, and state police come in. They take the keys right out of your hand. That's what happens day one.
Really? They won't let you drive? You cannot drive?
Nope.
Wow.
Interesting. When you know, if you're going to run. You're running. You'll win. So 4 years from now, if you do decide to leave, will you drive again?
I sure as hell hope so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But,
watch out if you see me on the road.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Eversource. You know, this has been a problem for a while. No one seems to be able to solve it. Everyone has an explanation as to why the electric bills are so high. We need someone to fix this. And my perception of this whole thing is they're millionaires. You guys are doing just fine. And you guys like go to cocktail parties together. You discuss stuff. And then you have a plan of how you're going to do this in front of the rest of us. It's almost like your parents. And then you come out to the kids and you say, you know, I'm fighting these guys. These guys are the enemy. And Eversource is like, oh, no, you're the enemy. You know, you do this whole dog and pony show in front of us. When do we get somebody who's going to solve this problem? And how do we solve it?
Well, you're right. We've had the highest electric prices in the country. We being New England, you know, actually it's California, Hawaii, and New England for the last 50 years. You know, we were able to reduce prices by about 15% a few months ago. You know, that's a start. We still have high electric prices. And there are a lot of false solutions out there. Hey, move all the charges onto the backs of the taxpayers. That doesn't make any difference. What we need is more generation, and we need to hold Eversource's feet to the fire. The latter, we've been doing that. We got the multi-million-dollar salaries, the advertising, the lobbying fees, all that crap out of the rate base. That makes a difference. And on generation, you're right. That's wind, that's solar, that's nuclear. Thank God we plugged in nuclear when I came into office. Other states were unplugging. That would have been a disaster for the state. We're making progress, but man, we have a long way to go.
15%, was that a reduction in like those stupid fees being pulled out of the bill, or was that the rate actually going down?
Well, the two are related, but it's what people often refer to as the public benefits charge.
Right, that was stupid. Yeah,
that's how you pay for nuclear power, by the way, all these so-called stupid fees. But there also is energy efficiency and things in there. So we made a bet against the high price of natural gas. That allowed us to, you know, turn the public benefits charge into a credit. So that's off your bill. You know, and as long as, you know, the price of natural gas stays high, we're in good shape.
Well, does that 15% come back in November after the election?
No, I think we're pretty well locked in. There'll be a recal in a couple of months, but it really is for the next year. That's how they've calculated it.
A recal
it.
In a couple of months. That's
scary.
We're in good shape, I think, through the next 11 months. Then we'll see. You know, if Trump invades another country, the price of natural gas goes up. We'll still be in the money on that. We'll still be able to eliminate the public benefits charge for another year.
Governor Lamont's on the show, primary tonight. Primary is tomorrow, correct? Yeah, tomorrow. Aquarian, that giving Eversource the ability to sell that and then it won't be regulated. Why would we do that?
That's not quite true. I mean, legislature can step in. I think they should make sure we have some guardrails around this. You know, sort of funny. Some people like public utilities and private water companies. It's sort of two sides of the same coin, but you're going to have to watch water costs carefully. What I worry about is they sell it at a premium, and now the new owner has to pay off the debt. So we're going to watch that carefully, make sure that's regulated, make sure we keep an eye on the water costs.
Because Wall Street went nuts.
And keep an eye on Iran, by the way, because they're going after a lot of these small water systems.
Who?
Seen that?
Iran.
Iran. They're going after, you know, hacking into some of the filtration systems, mainly in Minnesota and the southeast. We've been watching it carefully, not here in Connecticut, as far as we can tell.
What is your take on flock cameras? We'll get to speed cameras in a second, but the flock cameras, you last week said you are urging communities to put a pause on this.
So here's the deal. Talk to police across the state. They say these license plate readers help us track down stolen cars and really solve some crimes. Talk to people. They say this is Big Brother all over again. So that's why I said let's hit the pause. We did this with the legislature, or whatever it was, 6 months ago. We said you can't give this information to anybody else. It stays here in Connecticut. You got to destroy it after 21 days unless there's an active investigation. But you look around the state, you listen to your show, people are sort of aggravated that this is a real big brother. So I put a pause, let the police make the case, and show us how you're protecting the data before anything goes forward.
All right. Do you think that maybe that could have been done before we rolled these cameras out?
Well, like I said, look what we did in the legislative session last time. You know, we said we limited the time and who you can give the information to. But still, there's a lot of information out there, some misinformation. So let's get to the bottom of this. Let's set very clear rules that everybody knows. And you'll hear from the police how important they think this is and how they can give people confidence this information is not being abused. They can't give people confidence. It's not going to go forward.
Yeah. Do you see this thing now? A lot of these companies are doing boutique pricing where they, you know, they know so much about you. Like, for instance, an airline, if they know that you're going to a funeral, the ticket price will be higher. Did you see this? Have you heard about this?
No.
No, but they get this
in grocery stores that sometimes they can tell who's going by and they change prices.
We try to
put some rules on it. They know everything.
Right.
Google knows everything.
I know, but these cameras are helping people figure out and track us. And this flock, trust me, they're not doing this to help the police. They're doing this to gather information to sell it to those companies who want to do boutique pricing.
Well, that's illegal, and we're going to hold that, and that's going to happen.
Okay.
And if we can't hold them accountable, we're going to put a permanent pause on things.
Nice.
But I disagree with you. Talk to the police. Talk to a lot of the mayors. They do think there is a real crime prevention and crime get to the bottom of these things. It is helpful there.
I have an idea.
Right.
I have an idea, Governor.
Here we go.
Crime prevention.
All right.
Please, you could take it and you could use it, and I will not take credit for it. You take criminals, you put them in jail, and you leave them in there.
Nice.
Amen.
That's a concept.
I know. Write it down.
No revolving
door. I know
door.
It's new,
right?
But it's just a theory. And juveniles, if they commit crime, put them through the system, make there be consequences. Just an idea. Feel free to take that one.
Now, that's a very novel idea. Let me think of it that one, Jazz. I think we're doing that. I think we have some of the lowest crime stats in the country, but we can always do better. Take that to heart.
All right. Now, the juveniles, there's a whole racket going on where adults hire the juveniles to steal cars, break into, get wallets, go into, unlock cars.
Yeah.
They take the credit cards. They take the cars. They handle it because they know the juveniles, if they're caught in the act, will not do any time.
Right.
One. And two, it'll be expunged from their record in 30 days.
Yeah.
It's a real problem.
It's a problem. You got to be careful with a 15-year-old, you know, how you solve that. If it's a repeat offender, you solve it, you know, much more strongly. If it's a first-time offense. So we're trying to get that balance right. But I understand the concern. I've heard that.
You mentioned police a couple of times. You know, there's a police can't go near voting polls, places, voting places. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I was asking the governor.
There was jump in there, AJ. look, so some people are worried. They're worried about ICE. They feel some sense of intimidation. You know, I hear that out in the campaign trail. So we did try to give people some confidence that you'll be able to vote safely and there's not going to be ICE, you know, anywhere near voting places. I can't 100% enforce that because those are federal officials. You know, we said to our local police, you know, we made clear the guidance that, look, if you're pursuing something, you can do whatever you got to prevent a crime. Don't worry about that.
Now, I know your party is in one place, and I know you seem like a normal person. Can you at least acknowledge that if you're a police officer and you can't go near a polling place, but someone who snuck into the country illegally can, doesn't that seem upside down to you? Wouldn't common sense suggest that that's weird?
Well, again, you know, police can solve crimes in polling places or anywhere else. And when you talk about folks sneaking in, I mean, a lot of these are kids at Wilbur Cross High School who have been in this country for 17 years. you know, we used to call them the Dreamers. So I don't want to sit around arresting them and sending them.
I agree with you there.
Back to El Salvador.
No, I agree with you 100% there. We just need to figure out a way to make them citizens. So they're not living in shadows. Like everybody talks about doing it. Nobody ever does that. But still, the police shouldn't feel like they're the bad guys.
Well, if undocumented people are not voting, right?
They can't vote,
then
right?
What is the need for having
ICE
not having
there.
ICE there?
Right.
Right. You would agree that if you're not a citizen of the United States, you shouldn't be able to vote, right?
Shouldn't, can't, and don't, with some rare exceptions. We get to the bottom of it. Just some folks who feel like they may be targeted, so they feel a little uncomfortable. That's why we did what we did. But believe me, cops can go anywhere to prevent crimes.
All right. That's kind of playing for the audience, right? So you said you're putting ICE over here, but that's, yeah. What are we doing? Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this. Because I asked this of Governor Malloy right before his second term. I said, in a second term, for you, Governor, in a third term, will there be any tax increases, new fines, new fees?
I sure as hell hope not. Look at the last 8 years, everybody else promises to eliminate the income tax. You remember that? Then they always raise the income tax. We're the first ones to actually have reduce the income tax. Not for rich people, but for middle-class folks. We eliminated for working families. I think we're in a pretty good place. I've got a surplus. I'm paying down debt. I don't see any need to raise any taxes.
Okay. I hope that soundbite doesn't become something. what is there left? I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in a third term?
Look, we got really positive momentum. It's a complicated time right now. But if I have one big priority, just when we're getting our physical house in order, just when we're getting our pensions solvent again, it's the high cost of health care, Chad. So I look around. I think we ought to be able to move. I'm going to get my state employees and retirees and small business. And you guys will all come together and negotiate with the insurance companies. We'll negotiate with the hospitals and get much better rates so we can drive down the cost of health care for everybody. That's my big goal for the next 4 years.
All right. Then do you see yourself running again, or would this be it, third and done?
Put it mildly, life marches on, you know.
What does that mean?
That means I'm 72, but you don't want to go in saying, oh, no, that's it for me, because right. Then everybody and their brother is running for governor on day two.
Right. So that seems like you're saying you would be done, but you don't want to say you're done. We're just talking
here.
What
I said.
No one's listening.
Believe what I said.
Just us.
Just friends.
All right. Well, it seems to me like this is like everybody thinks that you're just going to, this is a cakewalk for you, right? You're going to win the primary easy.
And you got to work. You got to work. You got to tell people you want the job. You've got the energy to keep going, build on what you've done, what you want to do next. And Chaz, I was really happy. I was down at Oxford. I think it was last week. And it was the little mini golf course.
That's right.
Shut down.
I heard you were there.
Flood. And there we were, just being able to say, God, the final piece of the puzzle is back. Although they're still having a hard time getting money from the feds.
No, I know. And you know what? That's what I like about you. You know, Oxford's a red town, but you'll go there. And when the flood came, it was devastating and you came out. And no, I appreciate that. You could easily be a Senator Murphy and just not show up to those places, but you do. And I think people appreciate that.
I like the way it worked. Remember, we were all there. We raised all that charitable money early on. You were right there front and center to help people immediately. Then the state came in for some short-term money as a bridge to hopefully getting FEMA and the federal money and the SBA in place. You know, it was really hard on people, really hard.
It's still hard.
Yeah.
I'm still seeing, you know, people who lost parts of their house building back. And it's not done.
The effects aren't over.
Oh. Anyway, Governor, you know, we know what it's going to be Wednesday morning. We'll all be like, oh, well, you won by like, what do you think? I'm going to guess 72%.
I'm just the opposite. Run like Abraham. I want everybody to go out there and vote like it really makes a difference. If you think we've done a reasonably good job the last 8 years, as Reagan said, you're better off today than you were 4 or 8 years ago. Come to the voting booth and look what we want to do. Best way to say if somebody's going to get something done in the future, have they gotten anything done in the past? What's their track record?
Yeah, you're right. Remember Governor Malloy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those were not good times.
No, they were not, no.
On that happy note, guys, have a good day.
Yeah, you too.